I know it might sound like a weird business decision, but if it's not fun, life is short. We only have one life, and everything is renewable. Money you can find, you can like buy more buildings, whatever, but time you don't get back.
Welcome to the Prosperity Perspective by DML, a conversation about how successful business owners invest their hard-earned money to preserve their wealth and what they might have done differently in hindsight. Well, thank you for joining us today, guys. Today we are joined by Francois Lanthier, and excited for him to share a little bit about his journey. A little different from some of the other stories that we've heard on the show, but excited for his perspective. So without further ado, Francois, do you want to introduce yourself and give a little bit of your background and where you're at today?
Yes. So maybe we can start, I can start by sharing the conversation we were having before the recording about being a business owner. So I myself don't feel like I'm really a business owner sometimes. It's not a restaurant. I don't own a store or I don't know, like a company of some kind, but in a way I do. So I'm a real estate investor and I own properties in three different countries, Canada, USA, and Costa Rica more recently. I'm also looking to expand in other countries in the future. I love long distance investing and I coach people as well on real estate investing because I think it's such a great avenue. If you're a business owner, sometimes you have money sitting in a corporation and you don't want to take it out because there's tax implications. So you can actually lend to maybe a new corporation you set up for your real estate venture, which is something I do personally. I lend from my property management company to my holding company. Well, I have several of them. In different countries, you need a holding company in each country as well. So, and it's a husband and wife team. So my wife, Jennifer, who's not here, but she's always involved. So always in the back saying, let's buy more. So that's kind of a little bit about me.
So how did you get into real estate?
Yeah, so it's a funny story. I'm about 7 years ago or so, I sold a house. And not thinking about it too much, I bought another house. And then when I went to the lawyer's office, I found out that I had a big mortgage penalty. So it sounds very naive, like, how didn't you know? And then the bank anyway told me you could recoup that penalty by buying another property. So properties back then in Canada where I was were very affordable. So I got a little condo and my mom was looking for a place. So she was my first tenant. And I'm like, this is easy. Let's do it again. So I got a duplex and then I'm like, well, this is great. Let's keep going. I got another duplex. And then financially, it became a little tougher because you need to save up for down payments. Mortgage rules in Canada are quite tight. So especially back then and right now, it's getting worse. So I started looking outside of not Canada, but outside of my province of Ontario. And I expanded east to New Brunswick, a very small province, but beautiful place, very affordable. And then when that market was tapped out, I went out west to Alberta. So sort of up your way, not quite BC lining up with Seattle, but anyway, out west. And then I'm like, well, okay, what's going down south? So I started looking in the US for opportunities and Costa Rica as well. And yeah, there's so much going on. It's just an amazing investment strategy.
So that leads into the question we like to ask all our guests, right? Once you reach that point of profitability, you didn't have to worry about food on the table, roof over the head, you know, what was the framework that you used, you know, maybe even before you were investing in real estate, you know, to where you guys allocated that capital?
Yeah, so a lot of people ask me that question, and I've been on several podcasts. And they also ask me, how do you pick your projects, things like that. And then people talk about cap rates, cash flow, all those important business fundamentals. But for me, number one criteria is fun. So it might sound a bit silly, but it's got to add to my life. So I know it might sound like a weird business decision, but if it's not fun, life is short. We only have one life and everything is renewable. Money you can find, you can like buy more buildings, whatever, but time you don't get back. So how do you invest your time, I think, is way more important than how do you invest your money. Of course, you need money to do things. And yes, I do have some criteria. market fundamentals. I do look at that, but it's got to be fun. So where I've been buying, it has something to it, like a different story. I'm buying places where I've never been. So then I'm kind of forced to go there. And this is fun. I get to travel and also helping people. So Costa Rica, one of the reasons why I bought there is to help. So buying one house, you essentially create one job, and they have very high unemployment in Costa Rica. So you have a housekeeper, a gardener, all kinds of services around your house. And I think that's very important as well. So maybe it's not solid business advice, but you have to enjoy life. Like, what are you leaving behind? And what will you regret when you're dying in your last moments? So I won't regret not having fun. So I hope this answers the question somewhat.
Yeah. What did you choose to invest in for fun prior to real estate? And then, you know, how did that change, or how did your definition or perspective of change, of fun change with real estate coming around? Because it sounds like you've been very active on the real estate, and that's kind of been the primary for the last 7 years or so, right? So, you know, what had to give, or, you know, what changed for you in that that fun category or investment type, I guess?
Yeah, well, I went back to school 4 times. So I was trying to different things. I'll get a higher paying job. I get a new degree. I get this, I get that. And I'll take on 3 jobs. Why not? But then Canada Revenue Agency, just like the IRS, wants their share. So now you're working just to pay income tax. And so, yeah, fun was, how can I earn more in less time? And real estate actually answered that question. So with less time, because working way beyond 40 hours, like 80, 120 hours a week is not sustainable, and it doesn't multiply. So for fun, that's kind of what I did. I did not have fun at all. It was really not a good life. So real estate changed that, because you have multiple profit centers, like most businesses. Like in real estate, you have appreciation on the property, you have monthly cash flow from either long-term tenants, short-term tenants. And then there's also, you can sell the property. There's mortgage pay down, so the tenants are paying your mortgage. So those income streams are huge. And for fun, I guess I love networking. So meeting people. And that's something I used to do, but without any direction. So I kind of just met people and didn't go anywhere. Now I'm on a mission to help people learn about real estate investing and how just owning one extra property can change your life forever. So, yeah.
Sounds like heavy investment in yourself and pursuing different areas, particularly with all the degrees, right, that were of interest. Or I'm sure parts of that were fun, at least on the education content side, right? As you were, sounds like trying to figure out where your purpose was, and landed kind of in this real estate and giving back space.
Yes. And the Canadian economy, I don't know if you've been following it at all, but there's some ups and downs. And where I was living, I first started out in interior design, which was not a good move. In early 2000, the economy really crashed, with the automobile industry kind of leaving Canada at that time. So I had to go back to school. I started doing horticulture, which seemed like fun, but shoveling gravel and planting trees and stuff was not for me. I'm more of a interior guy. So whatever, I accept it. So then I'm like, sustainability, let's do that. And sustainable design, I enjoyed it. But again, that was kind of a new trend in maybe 2007, we are at that point. So sustainability was a buzzword, but you need to be in the large centers like Toronto or New York, those big cities. I was in Ottawa, so we're the national capital. But anyway, it's a government town, so things move slowly. So it was not a good move. So I went back to school in communications and marketing. And that was great. And I've used those skills a lot now for my own business and helping others, and kind of branding myself with the bow tie that I usually wear to kind of stand out. It's good to have something that stands out. So,
yeah, very cool. Let's dive into the real estate piece a little bit, right? So kind of became an accidental landlord. Mom was first tenant, then got into duplex. Of your holdings, kind of what's your primary, right? Is it a, sounds like it's all long-term cash flow. Are you buying, you know, market rent and, you know, holding for long-term getting tenants in, or are you doing rehab? Kind of what's your preferred method of investment?
Yeah. So I'm kind of a lazy investor. So I do like that buying a place that's the rents are too low and you can increase them with sometimes not even renovating. Like, this will sound very, very bad, but some places I've purchased and all I did is not include utilities anymore. So rents went through the roof. I was able to refinance the property and that's it. No renovations, nothing. This is becoming much, much harder with prices having like tripled in most markets here. Places you were able to buy for $200,000-$300,000 are now $1 million about 3 years later. So that opportunity, if somebody bought back then, is huge. Now you have access to tons of money, really cheap money you can borrow to buy more. I'm getting more and more into vacation rentals as well. So Florida, short-term rentals for high cash flow. Long-term rentals tend to have lower cash flow, especially in Canada. And the US, there's some great markets still. For your listeners, I think they're mostly Americans. You guys are very fortunate. Have a look at Canada. If you're thinking it's getting expensive in the US, you haven't seen much. Like here, some parking spaces are going for $400,000, $500,000. Like a house in some cities, easily up to $3 million. That's Canadian. So yes, you guys get about 25% off. But still, to us, it sounds expensive. But yeah, if you want to boost cash flow, short-term rentals is the way to go. Rehabs, yes, that's great. I don't like doing that. I just want it simple and you just sign documents and that's about it. And it works. It just takes a bit more research to find the right properties for that.
So you talked a little bit about the appreciation in Canada. You talked a little bit about debt leverage. How aggressive are you and what are your thoughts on, you know, how to use debt and leverage? How do you use it in your portfolio and kind of what do you recommend?
Yeah, so I'm actually really well known for creative financing. So I do a lot of joint ventures. So there's not much, well, there's leveraging of someone else's credit and cash or savings or lines of credit. That's one way of doing it. Or myself, like you buy a property, you increase the value with forced appreciation. Oftentimes it's just increasing rents where it's allowed. And that's why I was strategic where I've invested as well. And then refinancing it. In Canada, rental properties, you can only go to about 80% loan to value. I know in the US, you can go higher. There's some programs for military and other situations. Here, we're quite limited. It's up to 80, unless you get something from the government. There's some funding for lower rents with a CMHC, so Canada Mortgage Housing Corporation. And there you can go up to 95% loan to value and super low interest rates, like 40-year amortization and interest rates around 1.5%. Oh. So totally insane, cheap money. Yeah, wow. Because it's government like supported, so it makes sense. And you have to apply. So normally those properties you need to buy cash or with a like private loan, and then you refinance with the CMHC. Otherwise, it takes 6 to 9 months to get approved. So there's no way someone's going to wait that long to buy. But yeah, I love leveraging. I think it's very important to do it wisely. Do not over leverage yourself by borrowing 100% on all properties. You should have some properties with equity in them to keep going. So sometimes you have to be patient, wait a few months, wait a year before your next acquisition, or get a joint venture partner or a corporate setup. Or as myself, and if you're Canadian, you can go to the US, and a lot of Canadian banks have bought American banks in 2008. So we have a huge in, we can borrow a lot in the US. It's kind of shocking how easy it is to get money compared to Canada. So that's a big advantage. If you're American, you're also welcome to Canada, but in 2 years' time, because right now there's a ban on foreign investments, but maybe in 2 years' time, there will be some good advantages. But you're still allowed to buy vacation rentals in Canada if you're interested in the North Pole.
So they let you do short-term rentals, or they let foreigners, I should say, do short-term rentals,
yes.
But not any other investment.
No, it's a brand new rule that came out a few weeks ago. It was a government promise because we have an enormous housing shortage, just like in the US you're experiencing. The province where I live, Ontario, we're about 15 million people and we're short 1.5 million houses right now. And population is rapidly increasing. Canada is seeing massive immigration. We're welcoming about 400,000 immigrants every year. So those people need housing. We already have that housing crunch. So it's a big issue, but a big opportunity for investors. Same like in the US, Florida is seeing, I think it's 1,000 people a day migrating to the state of Florida. So it's an opportunity. Yes, there's bidding wars and things, but if you plan carefully, you can really take advantage of this crunch that's happening all over North America.
You talked a little bit about JVs, creative financing. So I assume in those cases, your side would be identifying the property, potentially fixing it up, trading that for equity, and using someone as a capital partner to get the financing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't do syndication and really large complexes, which we can do with the general partner and the limited partnership. What I've done so far is smaller in the US, so more just vacation rentals. It's just an easier structure. As a Canadian, we have two corporate layers, so an LLC and an LP to own the property. But for Americans, I know the rules are a bit different. For us, we just need that extra distance. And then in Canada, we have a corporation that owns all the American entities. But this allows us to do a lot of things. And yeah, it's a great way to buy. You can get into vendor takebacks, but those are becoming quite rare with the markets being so hot everywhere. In Costa Rica, you can get a lot of vendor takebacks. Which is great, where that's where the owner does the financing or part of it for the purchase of a property. Other countries like Belize as well, there's a lot of vendor takebacks out there. If you're looking at Europe, there's some great rules for foreign investors, really cheap mortgages. In Portugal, I heard about 1% for mortgages, and you can get like, I think it's 70% loan to value. So you have some cash to park somewhere. There are countries waiting for that money, and the opportunities are huge, especially for Americans. So Canadians, we don't have the right currency. So everything has to be converted to US dollars quite often, but you already have the American dollar. So it does open a lot of avenues for you as well.
It's fascinating to hear the perspective about the different countries, right? And interest rates, because I mean, in the States now on a primary, you're looking 5.25, 5.5 on a 30.
Very expensive. Yeah.
Which is interesting to hear, right? Because 5.5, even if you look 2 to 3 years ago, was the lowest it's been in like 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Years, right? Like it's the bottom level.
We've almost hit zero here. We went to 0.89% for interest, but property prices have skyrocketed because of that. So a house you'd buy in Florida for $500,000, $600,000 in Canada, that's almost a $2 million house. So you're paying lower interest, but you're paying a lot more for the property itself.
Fascinating. What's the thing you're most excited about right now, either in terms of investment or investment strategy? You know, what gets you excited, or where do you want to put your money next?
Yeah, next is Central America. So I just love the countries down there. You can become a resident. I never thought I'd applied for a different citizenship, but I am. So like Costa Rica, you can go there and be a digital nomad for only $60,000. for 2 years, you could put in a bank account. Or if you buy properties, which is more my cup of tea, $150,000 buys you residency. So you could stay there forever. Healthcare, especially for Americans, it's more of a concern. In Canada, we get it not for free. We get it in our taxes. Very, very expensive, but we're forced to buy it. So we have it. But for Americans, down going to Costa Rica is great. Medical tourism is amazing. Even the dental services are super cheap. Canada, I compared like a regular cleaning in Canada is about $350. Down there, it's $59 US for the same thing. So that pays part of your flight. I mean, why not kind of export your lifestyle and enjoy like what other countries have to offer? And real estate wise, there's huge opportunities.
So when you were, the figures you were sharing, the 60K, the 150K, is that investment into the country? So if I bought a property for 150K, does that check the box for me? Or yes. Is it property plus giving them money?
No, property, that's it. And then, yeah, you got to apply. You need, I think it's about $5,000 in legal fees for a family of four to not immigrate, but to get a dual citizenship. Well, it's residency. And after 5 years, it becomes citizenship. So that's really easy. I mean, you have to hold the property 5 years minimum, but you want it anyway because it's your investment. And so that's it.
Sounds very similar to Panama. Yes. In terms of what they do there. Also US dollar, right? So a lot of benefits.
Yeah, that's it. No exchange and banks. Again, I'm Canadian, Scotia Bank. Is very present in all the Central America, Bahamas. So as a Canadian and American, Scotiabank, I don't think is in the US, but it's in it's in 50 different countries. So us, it opens a lot of doors. There's a lot of American banks as well, partnering with Central American banks. So it's quite easy. You set up a corporation and again, you can kind of funnel money down there. And their anti-money laundering rules are very tough. So get ready to prove where every dollar comes from.
No cash deposits, huh?
No, you can't. If you show up with a suitcase of cash, it won't work, which I don't recommend anyway, but it's not really the best thing. It's money wires. And yeah.
So someone who's listening, who's like, hey, Francois, this sounds really great. Sounds like you've got a decent portfolio in 7 years time and, you know, it's expanding quickly. What do you recommend to them in terms of how to get started?
The biggest thing is people. So this is a business of people. Who do you know? Who knows you? Who knows of you? So it's all about networking. And there's tons of resources online, in-person meetups. So wherever you live, especially in the US, there's a lot more. You can check out some like bigger pockets and large investment groups and then find something that's local and meet other investors and find something that resonates with you. So if you don't see yourself owning like a huge 600 apartment building, then find something that's suitable, like a duplex, a single house. There are still markets where it works. And just kind of take action by doing that research and connecting with people.
That's great feedback, Francois. As we're wrapping up, what's the best way for the audience to be able to get back in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can follow my podcast called Wine and Real Estate. And I'm always drinking wine, talking about real estate and talking about my next venture, next project. I have a lot of great guests as well helping you. So check me out on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, Wine and Real Estate, or my personal name, Francois Lantier, on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. Wine and Real Estate is also there. And I coach people. So I have students in Canada and the US as well now that need assistance, maybe with the mindset or finding capital or whatever it is to help you get started and going, or to increase and grow your business in real estate investing.
Awesome. Appreciate the time. Appreciate all the insights to help enrich the listeners' lives. Really appreciate you, Francois.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on The Prosperity Perspective. If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, please head over to theprosperityperspective.com, where you can hear from other successful business owners on their approach to investments. On our website, you'll be able to learn more about how DML Capital currently helps other business owners, like yourself, diversify their investments and grow their wealth. Take our short quiz to see if you're ready to take the next steps toward your financial success.